Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. In verse 8, the Word of God says, "Now we live if you stand firmly in the Lord." Now we live if you stand firmly in the Lord. What does it require for me to really live with Christ? To have God's quality of life being experienced? It requires standing firmly in the Lord. Now, if you're going to stand firmly in the Lord, then you need to know where to stand. Because if you don't know where to stand, then life can become really confusing really fast. When I was teaching, one of the things that I quickly recognized was that young people are looking for things that are real. They want to know things as they actually are. They want definition. They want encouragement, yes, but they also want clarity so they know where to stand. They want to know what things actually mean. They want information, advice, guidance about the reality of things because they don't yet have enough experience to have figured that out on their own. So they're looking to other people, teachers and parents and so on, to tell them, show them where to stand. We need to know where to stand. Now, to stand is not simply as we think of to stand. In the Bible, when it says stand firmly in the Lord, it's talking about knowing what to trust, what to rely on, and what to be faithful to. So when he says we stand firmly in the Lord, he's saying we trust, we rely on, and we're faithful to the Lord. When somebody stands, then they're faithful to it. They're trusting it. If I stand for something, then that means that this is what my life is dedicated to, this is what I am faithful to, this is what I believe, this is what I'm relying on. This is what I'm all about. This is what I'm standing in. People are constantly looking for what they can stand in. Where can they stand? They want to know what's solid. They want to know what's reliable. They want to know that if I stand on this, it's not going to come out from under me. It's going to hold me. It's going to keep me. It's going to preserve me. It's going to define things for me. It'll take care of me. I need to know where to stand. God gives us all that we need to know where to stand. We stand in the Lord, yes, but how? What does that mean? What can I rely on about the Lord? What do I do? What kind of decisions do I make? Where can I stand? 1 Corinthians 16:13 says that we stand in faith. And then it says, quit like men and be strong. Stand in faith, quit like men, and be strong. Quit like men can sound like a really strange thing. Do you know what quit like men means? Men don't quit. That's what it means. So when it says quit like men, it's not, well, find a manly way to quit. No, it means you don't quit. Pastor Stevens, my pastor, used to say the only way to lose with God is quit. You don't quit. You stand firmly in faith, and that will make you strong. To stand firmly in faith, you have to know the Word of God, you have to know the love of God, you have to have a real living relationship with the Holy Spirit. That's not difficult, it's actually ridiculously easy. But the old sin nature has no participation in it. And that's where people find that to be troubling. They want to keep their sin nature involved in their relationship to God. They want some aspect of their life to be withheld from God or to be preserved by God when God actually wants to free them from that because that's the very thing that's keeping them in bondage. if I stand in faith toward God, then I'm going to find that I can trust Him. This is true every time. God never forsakes people. God never disappoints people. Now, God might not give you a Cadillac, or for that matter, sometimes God might not heal you. If His plan involves an illness, then God's not going to give up the plan because you don't want your illness. Nobody wants an illness. Nobody wishes anybody to have an illness. But sometimes, just like with Job, that becomes a part of the perfect plan of God. He's doing something eternal using something that doesn't last. And so, when you get into these things where you need to trust God, where you need to stand in faith, you find that God is trustworthy. He absolutely is. God is absolutely trustworthy. You find that God is absolutely faithful. People, forget it. Don't even try to trust them, because you cannot trust them. And the reason that you cannot trust them is not because they're nasty. The reason you cannot trust them is because they're human. They are not made that way. We sometimes want to trust people, especially people we're close to. We want to trust them. You're going to find that if you keep trying to trust people, they're going to keep disappointing you. And the reason is because they're human. People are flawed. People have weaknesses. People have their own problems. People have insecurities. People have all these things that come against them, and often there's things in people's lives they don't know how to deal with. They don't know how to handle it. They haven't grown to that place with God yet where they could overcome it. And if you happen to touch it, forget it. You're not going to be able to rely on them with that. Don't even try. God doesn't say trust people. Nowhere in the Bible does God say trust people. God says trust God. The amazing thing is, if you trust God, you don't need to trust people. Because God will take care of literally everything. God is the one who is trustworthy. God is the one who takes care of you. God is the one who will protect you. God is the one you can rely on. God is the one who will not disappoint you. Don't try trusting people. Trust God. If you trust God, you won't be hurt by the fact that you can't trust people. Well, Jesus didn't trust people. He knew what was in the heart of people. He didn't trust them. But that wasn't the problem. People weren't made to be trusted. People were made to be loved by God. The funny thing is, the more that people learn the love of God, the more trustworthy they become. But even then, they're not without flaws. And so you can never really fully trust people. You can always fully trust God. So if you start out at that point, I'm not worried about the people. That's going to be my premise. That's going to be the place that I'm standing. I'm going to stand in trusting God. People will no longer be a problem. I'm not saying they're going to be easy. I'm not saying they're going to not sometimes be hurtful. I'm not saying that they're not going to challenge you in any way whatsoever. They're just not going to be a problem, because you trust God. A problem means you don't know what to do with this. It's going to destroy something. You don't know what to do with this. People don't have that ability to do that to you. But sometimes we look for things from people where we need to be looking for those things from God, because people don't have the ability to give it to us. Sometimes people trust people who are not even saved. How do you even begin to do that? All they have is an old sin nature. That's all they have to work with. And even if they're living at the good side of the tree, or they have a nice personality or something like that, and many unsaved people have wonderful personalities and they're very pleasant, but they're not reliable. If you press the right buttons, you'll find you can't trust them either. They weren't meant to be trusted. You can't try to win somebody to Christ or love somebody and look to trust them. The two are not compatible. They weren't meant to give it to you. But stand fast in faith. Be immovable in your trust of God. Be immovable in your response to God. And you won't have any problems with circumstances or health or people or something like that. I'm not saying they're not going to be challenges. I'm saying they're not going to be problems for you. It's something you'll be able to deal with and overcome because you trust God. Trusting God will build capacity and ability. You can trust Him because He loves you. In Ephesians 6:11, you stand against the wiles of the devil. That's a big one. Sometimes people actually agree with the devil and his strategies. Wiles literally means methods, strategies, and trickery. Now, you stand firm against his strategies and his methods and his trickery. One of the things that Satan will do, and ultimately this is all he's able to do, is accuse. Now, it doesn't matter whether he accuses according to fact or whether he accuses according to something that's not fact. Makes no difference whatsoever. Satan will accuse. The reason why I say it makes no difference whatsoever is because even if it's fact, the blood of Christ has dealt with the fact. And it becomes a lie. You don't listen to accusations and you don't receive accusations. Sometimes people know not to listen to accusations, but they'll receive them against themselves. Sometimes people will know that they have a weakness, perhaps, and then Satan accuses regarding that weakness. He will find people that will lend him their voice box. They don't even know they're doing it. But he will find people that will lend him their voice box. And then other people, maybe their friends or somebody they're close to or whatever, they'll listen. And they'll receive it. Don't do that. That's a huge mistake a lot of people make. Don't do that. Don't receive it. Stand fast against it. Reject it. Shut it down. Don't take it. Stand fast against his trickery. If he accuses you of being something less than, it doesn't matter what area, don't receive it. The Word of God says you can do all things through Christ. The Word of God says you're the beloved of God. The Word of God says you're one with the love of God. The Word of God says that you're His bride. The Word of God says you're His body. The Word of God says that in all things He accepts you. You're already accepted. The Word of God says that you have a place with Him. The Word of God says that you are the apple of His eye. The Word of God says that you are precious to Him. Don't receive Satan, especially when it comes by means of other people. Sometimes you'll do it right out of the atmosphere to your own thinking. Don't receive the notion that something about you is less than. Stand fast against the trickery of him. Now, there is an armor of God that Ephesians 6:11 talks about. It says, put on the whole armor that you can stand fast. The armor of God, really quick, starts with the helmet of salvation. Okay, salvation is deliverance. Deliverance comes through the Word of God. Okay, so the Word of God delivers you in different areas, and that becomes the protection for your mind. Then it's the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate covers the heart. And righteousness comes by faith in Romans 1:17 and Romans 3:22. And so we stand in faith, and it guards our heart. We trust what God says, and it protects our heart, our frame of reference. Then it says, loins gird with truth. Loins is where reproduction comes from. Let the fruit of the Holy Spirit take care of all the fruit of your life, of all the things that your life represents, manifests, shows. Let it be the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And that fruit, of course, is the love of God. Then there's the feet shod with the gospel. If I am interested in revealing Christ, and this is my primary purpose, then it will protect my decisions. And then you have the shield of faith. If I trust God, if I have faith, if I believe what God said, it's going to be very hard for the enemy to accuse. Because I believe what God said. God defines reality. Satan lies about reality. If I believe what God says and I let him define reality, when Satan lies about reality, I will recognize it instantly. And it protects me. And it doesn't just protect one part of me. The nice thing about the shield of faith is it protects the entire body, but not just the body. The shield that it's talking about is a Roman shield. This is actually a picture of the way that a Roman soldier was equipped. The shield of faith was made to cover two people. A Roman shield was very large, and it was made to cover two people. That means your faith can protect someone who has no shield of their own, who has no armor of their own. If they are humble and responsive to you, then your faith can shield them until the armor is developed for them. And then you have a sword of the Word of God. Well, if I have a sword and I know how to use that sword, the Word of God is an extremely powerful sword. It cuts from both ends. And so that's a sword. It doesn't matter where I take it. If I use it well, it will always have its effect. In Exodus 14:13, fear not and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. A lot of times people won't stand. They won't be firm. They won't trust God. They won't rely on Him because of fear. Fear is the great enemy of faith. Don't fear anything. Why? You have nothing to fear. You're one person with Christ. Ask yourself, who is God afraid of? Well, it's almost a ridiculous question. How can God be afraid of anybody? God holds people's atoms together. How is He going to be afraid of anybody? Herod decided he's going to get up in front of everybody and say he was God. By the time he ended his speech, he was dead. So much for being God. How is God afraid of anybody? God is not. God's afraid of nothing. God is afraid of no one. He has all power. He has all wisdom. He has all knowledge. He has all ability. Who's He afraid of? Nobody. Well, you're one person with Him. People don't get this. They hear it, but they don't really adopt it as their own identity. But it's a true identity. You are one person with God. What's there to be afraid of? Prayer can level mountains. What's there to be afraid of? Unbelievably powerful stuff. What's there to be afraid of? Prayer is simply the body speaking to the head, just like through the nervous system, the body speaks to the head. Well, you pray, the head hears, the head responds. The head takes care of the body. What's there to be afraid of? Stand still and you'll see God deliver you. It doesn't matter what it is. The more you scramble, the longer it takes for God to deliver you. But if you stand still and say, I'm trusting God in this, I'm not turning to the left, I'm not turning to the right, I'm not quitting, I'm not changing, I'm not doing anything, I'm just going to continue the way I am, I'm going to stand still, and God will deliver you. It doesn't matter what it is that you need delivering in. God will deliver you if you stand still. He'll deal with whatever the nature of the enemy is. He will deal with it. He will deliver you. Now in Romans 14:4, God is the one who makes you stand. People may judge you. People may criticize you. People might be negative toward you. People are weird that way. But it's God who's making you stand. So even if you're weak, God makes you stand. Even if you make mistakes, even if you fail, God makes you stand. Even if you have no idea what to do, God makes you stand. That is a constant reality in your life. God makes you stand. You stand because God gives you the ability. In Colossians 4:12, you stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. If you know something is the will of God, you do not budge from it. You don't even consider leaving the will of God. The will of God is absolutely everything in your life. You do not ever budge from the will of God. You stay true to it. You completely, wholeheartedly follow the will of God. You stand in it. If you're in the will of God, then you stay there and don't let anything or anyone even make you think about leaving the will of God. You leave the will of God, you leave everything God does for you. Some people do leave the will of God, and the cost in their personal life is enormous. People may say, but staying in the will of God is going to cost me something. Yeah, it really might. That's true. It might cost you something. It cost Jesus his life. It might cost you something. But what you gain is far greater than the cost. You never put anything ahead of the will of God. Not a person, not a job, not a situation. Nothing comes ahead of the will of God. That is the number one thing of your life, the will of God. In 2 Timothy 2:15, you stand in the things you've been taught. If you are receiving the Word of God, then that's what you've been taught. You use it, you stand in it, you rely on it, you apply it. Sometimes people hear the Word of God, but they don't apply it. Well, what good is hearing it? Sometimes the Word of God says, okay, this is what you do. And they say, okay, this is what I do, and then they just leave it alone and they never do it. The Word of God defines things, they'll accept the definition, but they never follow through and make decisions based on the definition. Well, no, you stand in the things you've been taught. Now, I'm not saying be legalistic. Sometimes people take what they've been taught and say, okay, these are the rules. You must do this or you will not be blessed. You don't know God at all. God's not about rules. God's about relationship. What you're taught builds relationship, not rules. God came to remove the rules. That's where religion gets in trouble. Religion brings a lot of rules. What they don't have is love. But they do have rules. They have rules galore. But they don't have love. I remember years ago, this was when I was a young Christian, a woman came into our church, and we had a great pastor. I was blessed with great pastors. We had a great pastor, and this woman came into our church, and she said she left her old church and hadn't been in a church for a while. And when pastor asked her why, she said, when I was a teenager, I was a world-class swimmer. And she said, I was competing for the nationals. And the pastor told me, no, the competition's on Sunday. You have to be in church that day. You can't compete. That hurt her so deeply, she just quit church altogether. You don't do that to people. No. Church is about relationship. Teaching you how to have a relationship to God. It's not about rules. But that pastor did not even know the purpose of his own church was to build people's relationship, not to give them rules to live by. You don't need rules to live by. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you if you're born again. He can guide you in all truth really, really well in John 16:13. That young woman had every right, and as a matter of fact, she should have gone to that meet. Actually, I think she did, and she was really at odds with her pastor because of it. She was completely right to do so. You go ahead and you do it, and you glorify God in it. Now, I'm not saying you do that every day. If I neglect church all the time, then that's another issue. But that young woman wasn't neglectful of church. She just had an important event that day. And because the pastor made the rules that you can't not be in church for any reason whatsoever, it hurt her life with God. It's not about rules. You stand in the things you've been taught. Now, if you can't make church, and sometimes you can't, you still stand in the things you've been taught. Your relationship with God is not a Sunday morning relationship. Your relationship with God is a lifetime. And for a lifetime, you apply what you have been taught. You stand in it. In Romans 5:2, you stand in grace. Standing in grace will put joy in your heart. Why? Because it gives you hope. Sometimes people lack joy because they lack hope. That's pretty common. Standing in grace produces hope. And where there's hope, there's joy. Now, hope is not a wishful thought. I hope it happens. Maybe it won't. But I really hope it does. No, hope is confident expectation. I know it's coming because God loves me, God said it, and God is true to what He says. So I know it's coming. That's hope. And when that's your situation, you have a lot of joy. So you always stand firmly in grace. Don't ever allow condemnation. Don't ever allow guilt that is not bona fide. Now, if you're actively sinning and there's guilt coming in, that's bona fide. That's legitimate. But the moment you forsake it, if you're guilty still, it's no longer legitimate. It's not bona fide. Don't ever live in unbona fide guilt. You stand in grace. In Psalm 111:8, says, they stand fast forever and ever. These are done, that is to say, they stand fast forever and ever for this reason. These are done in truth and in uprightness, which is righteousness. You stand fast when you live in the Word of God and you trust the Word of God. If you want to know where to stand, start with trusting the Word of God, and it will give you all the right places to stand. Amen. If you don't know that you're going to go to heaven when you die, pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. I accept your gift of mercy and what you have done on the cross. Save my soul. Take me to heaven when I die. And give me a relationship with you now as you come into my heart and live.